Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 tonight. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 38. Luke, chapter 10, verse 38 reads this way. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this evening. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths, that we might hear from you and again worship you in spirit and in truth, that you would be highly glorified and honored in our lives, drawn closer to you, and the faith that you've given to us strengthened, that we might be the witnesses of your great grace. Again, bless tonight, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is A Physical Reception Versus a Spiritual Reception. A physical reception of the Lord versus a spiritual reception of the Lord. We can get caught up in formality and forget spirituality. We can get caught up in doing things the way that we think and forget that the way that we think is not always the way God thinks. In fact, they're pretty much opposites, right? We don't always have it figured out. But God, here's the good news. God wants us to think like him. God wants us to know the way he thinks. God wants us to know the direction that he's leading and guiding us in. So tonight I want to look at a couple of things, familiar portion of Scripture, but important truths that God would have us to consider. And so tonight I just want to look at four thoughts. They're not very long tonight, but two distinctions. We'll look at that. Two different places of the heart, careful and troubled, and then lastly, the good part chosen. That's what the Lord said. He's chosen the good part. And that's what God wants us to do. But as we consider right off the bat, they both had the same opportunities. They just had different ideas. They both had the same company. They just, again, had different thoughts about what they should do with that company with the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 38 once again says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." That's a good thing. She received him. She did want his company. Many of God's people want the Lord, but they don't understand the Lord. I put myself in that group, all right? I want the Lord. I don't always understand God. Can you say amen to that tonight? I love the Lord because he first loved me, and I want the will of God. I don't always understand the will of God. Has the will of God ever confounded you a little bit? Well, you're in good company. The will of God confounded Peter as well. Remember, the Lord began to tell Peter how he's going to go to the cross, and Peter says, "Oh, no, no, Lord, that shall never be." And yet that was God's plan and, of course, his purpose for our redemption. But Peter didn't understand it. And so likewise, there's this growing process. But praise the Lord that he is wanting to teach us and show us his ways, even though initially and really as we learn them, they conflict with our ways. So we have here two distinctions. The Lord had an idea, Martha had an idea, and Mary understood the Lord's plan, the Lord's idea. So verse 39 says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." This really reveals that they don't come from a well-to-do family because they don't have any servants there to open up the door and welcome. But she receives him herself. "Lord, come on into my home." And Mary is there, and she goes to the feet of the Lord to hear what he has to say. And I want you to notice nextly two different places of the heart. We need to be mindful of this because this happens to us. In fact, we would be wise to say, "Lord, I need you to guide me today. I don't know how to come and go. I really need you to show me. I don't always know what you want me to do and how you want me to live. In fact, how you want me to yield as your servant." We're saved, And God says, now we have a choice. We've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we decide whether or not we want to be a slave, a bond slave to the Lord, which really goes a step further. We willfully submit ourselves. If we're a slave, then we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought, right? And therefore, God wants to use us. And so there is a, how would you say, a controversy in our understanding, a conflict even of the Lord's will and our will. And here's the crazy thing. We do love the Lord, but we don't understand the controversy or the conflict. Because God says, this is my will, this is my direction. And we think, oh yeah, I know what you mean, Lord. I know what you mean. I mean, I've been walking with you now for how many years? I know exactly what you want, and we don't. We don't always know exactly what the Lord is doing or wants to do. So it requires a very humble heart to not step out in front of the Lord. So notice verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. That was her focus. Let's do the exteriors. Let's make sure everything is in its right place and everything is perfect. And yet it weighted her down and it misled her and it got her worked up really about what other people were or were not doing. And so we need to be careful. That's a good indicator that our heart is not where God would have it when we start to look to others. Remember Peter when the Lord was commissioning him and he said, well, what about this disciple, right? And the Lord said, what is that to thee? You follow me and feed my sheep. You go ahead and do what I've called you to do. And the body, and this is important, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a body of individual members that make up one body. And every member has its part and has its place. So here's a good question. What's your part and what's your place? I think that's been forgotten. And so therefore, the body has gone AWOL. Amen? Absent without leave. God still has a plan and a purpose, but the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is not really in unison in Christ. Listen, even if the body itself is busy about serving, is it in the right place? Just because we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's and everything appears to be working right, is it right in the sight of God? Not if it's not led by the Holy Spirit. It isn't. Listen, it doesn't matter how many people you have. Is God looking to have a peculiar people or is he looking for a crowd? Is he looking to glorify himself through his church, or is he looking for a big congregation? Do you see the difference? So if we're not careful, we lose track. Does God want to find his people watching and waiting, or do we just want to go ahead and have just a big congregation? And so this is what's important. Now, I believe this. I believe as the church, the individual members, seek the Lord, he will do the work. He will build through his people. He definitely will do it through his people. But if his people are not seeking the will of God, then it's just exteriors. It just becomes what Martha was doing. It wasn't a bad thing she was doing, was it? And she had it in her mind. Listen, in her mind, question, did she have it right in her eyes? Did she think Mary had it wrong? Did she think the Lord had slighted her by not scolding her sister? In fact, she says, now listen, Lord, this is what you need to do. What? Lord, don't you care? Wow. Don't you? Now, wait a minute. Now, listen, I don't want to be too hard on Martha, all right? Because the truth be known, I've been there several times. That's just not right, Lord. Don't you care? Now, I don't know if I've said that, but my heart was in that direction. And wait a minute, does the Lord care? Does he care always? He does always care. The problem is how we see it. We don't see it from his perspective. We see it from, listen, we have a tendency, the natural man has a tendency to be legalistic. What do I mean by that? Well, here it is. Ready? If you cross the T's and you dot the I's, you must be right. Oh, no. No, it doesn't work that way. If the Lord, listen, and by the way, the Lord leads us in ways that we don't often even understand sometimes. The Lord calls us to do things and leads us in a specific direction or wants to do that, and sometimes they conflict with our ideas of what he's asking of us and what he's wanting. For sure, the Lord is wanting to glorify himself in our lives. That's the salvation that he's given to us, and he says, now I'm going to glorify, my will is to glorify myself in your life. Are you on board? You have eternal life by the grace of God, and the same way that you received Christ is the same way that we allow him to have his will and to glorify himself in our lives. The work of salvation, how much of it was our part? None of it was, right? And so how much of it was the Lord's work? The same way that God saved us is the same way he wants to glorify himself in your life and mine. That's a hard concept. That is something that is not natural. It's not easily understood. We say yes in our heads, but in our hearts, that's a foreign concept to experience the grace of God. There is some. So here it is, ready? We must be cognizant of this fact, that his way is not our way. And our kindness, listen, we looked at this morning about this lawyer who had nothing but contention and animosity for our Savior. But that was not God's outlook on him. He really, the Lord, did you see it this morning? The Lord really wanted him to understand, or he would have been done with him at the beginning. But he said, no. And he said, so since you've asked who my neighbor is, did the Lord give him an elaborate, detailed understanding of who his neighbor was? Absolutely. Listen, if we're hearing and receiving truth, do you know what's going to happen? We are going to be dealing with who? Ourselves. When he explained to that lawyer who his neighbor was, who did that lawyer have to deal with? Because he had a different outlook on what he thought life was all about. In fact, let me ask you this. Did you pick up he thought he was pretty upright? He thought he was all right. In fact, listen, he asked the question that sunk his ship in his mind. But the truth of it, he did ask the question that revealed the truth to him so that he could see his nakedness and how undone he was and how he had it all wrong. He held the truth, but he had it wrong. The question, is the Lord the truth?
Yes.
He is the truth. Is he in Martha's house? Yes. Did she have it right or wrong? And he was in her house. And she gladly received him into her house. But she had it wrong. Do you know what that tells us? Just because we're saved and just because we love the Lord does not mean we have it right. It doesn't mean we have it right. And just because, I'm going to preach on myself now, and just because we preach the Word of God doesn't mean we have it right as well. You follow? Listen, just because we preach the Word of God or teach the Word of God or are in the Word of God, if we're not careful, if we don't humbly walk before the Lord, we'll get it wrong. So, what happens here? Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Notice, and came to him, the Lord, and said, Lord, dost thou not care? What don't you care about, Lord? That my sister hath left me to serve alone. Does she think she's right at this moment? Who does she think is wrong? Her sister. Who else does she think is wrong? The Lord. What? Can a believer get to the place where, God, that's just not right. Oops. Have you ever said that before? And yet, is not everything in God's hands? We're all in the same boat. We have to walk so carefully. We have to walk so humbly before the Lord. If we're not careful, we'll get in ourselves, and we'll miss what God is trying to do. You know, listen. When the Lord took the five loaves and the two fishes from that young man, young boy, what did he do with it? He broke it. And then he used it for his honor and glory. Do you know what God's doing with us? He's breaking us so he can bless us. He's breaking us from ourselves. Here's a question, ready? Are you teachable? Are you pliable? Or here's maybe a better question. Do you want to be teachable? Do you want to be pliable? Listen. I told you this before. The things of the world are not true with God, necessarily, all right? So you heard this one. I've said this just not too, in the recent Sundays ago here anyway. Cleanliness is next to what? That's a worldly thing. That's not in the scriptures, right? And so likewise, just because we get these ideas, we have to be careful that we don't allow the world or our nature to encroach in our hearts and minds and think because I'm saved and because I do love the Lord that my heart is necessarily right with the Lord and that I'm following his will. So what happens here? When we look at this, we find here that she says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And by the way, she doesn't just stop there. She gives her advice to the Lord. Bid her therefore, because of my concrete truth that I just spoke, because I know I'm so right and she is so wrong. And you are too. That's what she did. Bid her therefore to come. And notice, and that she helped me specifically. Was she in for an eye-opener when the Lord... She thought she was so right. She may have thought this. I don't know. Conjecture on my part. She may have thought the Lord would have said something like, you know, Martha, you're right. I have let her let you serve alone. I don't know what she thought, but I do know this. She thought she was right. And she thought the Lord was going to be on her side. Do you know what the problem was? She wasn't worried about whether or not she was on his side. She just thought the Lord was on her side. But she forgot to see whether or not she was on his side. That's what really is important. Today we look at the world and we look at what the world is trying to say. All of that really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because that's all going to pass. What really matters is what God has said because his words are eternal. And so we need to be careful that we don't allow ideology to rule our hearts and minds. There are some people that have certain ideas that govern their lives in spite of truth. In spite of truth. People leap and run and they draw certain conclusions because of certain ideas that cause them to do things that are completely wrong. Listen, the world draws the wrong conclusion about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world, let me ask you this question, does the world look favorably upon believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, or do they think we're just trying to give them religion and trying to make them do this and not do that? That's what they think. But isn't the truth about believers a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ beginning with salvation? Isn't that the real truth about it all? And so, right off the bat, you're started with a handicap. Just like the lawyer. When he started with the Lord, he thought he had the upper hand. Listen, does the world not think the same thing? You know what they think we have? They think we have a crutch. Well, bless God, I'll use it as a crutch if you want to, because I am a broken individual. What I mean by that is I need the Lord's help and strength. And by the way, I need the Lord's righteousness, or I have no standing at all with him. And so I am glad for the Lord's salvation. I am thankful for the Lord's sacrifice that he's given in our behalf that we might have a standing before God because of his righteousness, not ours. And so, follow me on this. Just as salvation is all by the grace of God, so also is our service, or we will get it wrong and miss it like Martha did and not have what Mary had. And I'm going to tell you, listen, it's not that we are negligent of everything else, but Mary was zeroed in on the Lord. And the Lord commended her for that. Martha thought she had it so right, and she was what? So wrong. She was so wrong. You and I need to be careful that we don't think we have it so right and have it so wrong. Because, listen, is it not the truth that you and I one day will stand before our Savior? Not for judgment, praise God, but at least as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we were his servants, and that everything we have belongs to the Lord. I wonder how many believers really think that. Everything that is mine is God's, and I should use it for his honor and glory. And by the way, Martha had that to a certain degree where she wasn't, listen, she didn't mind sparing the expense, and I don't think she mind giving of herself. She just felt like she was left alone to do all the work. And so to speak, she was. But that was because there was somebody in her house that required complete attention, really. Because there are opportunities that you and I have when we get alone with the Lord that it's good to zero in on him and set everything else aside. I wonder maybe if that's not part of the problem today. We have so much distraction in things that are trivial. Really, listen. Let me ask you this. How important really is this media stuff? I'm not saying that you shouldn't have Instagram. I don't understand it. I don't think I want to understand it. I'm not saying that it's wrong. But if it's robbing us of our time with the Lord, and I know other things, other medias are fading out and new ones are fading in, but I really, regardless of whatever it is it not taking us? Listen. There is something about getting alone with the Word of God and asking God for guidance to open up the truth as we read it. There really is. God, I want you to speak to me through your Word today. I want to open up your Word, and I want you to speak to me. Do you think God still honors that? He does, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I wonder if we don't hear that, or if we're not careful, we get so caught up in things that aren't necessarily bad, but just time-consuming. They consume our minutes and our hours and our days away. And so Martha, the Bible says she was cumbered. She was laden down with much serving. That's what preoccupied and weighted her down. And she comes to him in verse 40, and she says, "My sister hath left me to serve alone. Bid her therefore that she help me." And then we want to see here what the Lord says here, that she is troubled about a lot of things. She's careful about a lot of things, and not that that's wrong, but it superseded what the Lord wanted to do in her life. So verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha." Really, don't you love that? There's compassion there. Listen. Now let's take this from the Lord's perspective. Maybe he's seated somewhere, right, in the house. Mary's at her feet. And let me ask you this question. So he's seated. And do you think the Lord is aware of everything that's going on? Do you think the Lord knows what's going to happen? So Mary's doing the right thing, and he's watching Martha. Does he already know her troubles? So she's going to come to him, and he's wanting to do it in a very delicate way to show that he loves her and to redirect her. She had it so right in her mind, and the Lord now has to confront her with the error of her ways and say to her, you think she was a little animated when she was talking to the Lord? A little bit animated? A lot animated? And then the Lord has to say, Martha, Martha, oh my goodness. Can you imagine what must have run through? It probably stopped her dead, cold. Because she, for a second, she thought, I'm right, Lord, I'm right. And I'm convinced that she probably picked up, not just by the tone, but by what she saw in his face. I missed it. I thought I was so right. But praise God to catch it there than to go her whole life and miss it completely and blame Mary for doing the right thing. Isn't that amazing? We can, because we're not doing the right thing, we can blame those that are doing the right thing and misunderstand it. All right, so ready? So the Lord says in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Is there a problem with the many things? If they consume you, you ever see people that get aggravated at the littlest things? The littlest things aggravate them, set them off. Are there some people that you feel like you've got to tiptoe gently because you might say or do the wrong thing and you might get them all worked up and started? They're set off so easily. That's because why does that happen? That's because everything outside of the way of their thinking is not right. And they have a right to get upset about it. What does that reveal, self? What did it reveal in Martha's life? She was full of who? Not the Lord. She was full of herself. When we are easily set off, the truth is the Lord is trying to say, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about things that really are not important. They, not that they don't need to be taken care of. You don't let the dishes pile up and overflow. Of course those things. But there's a time and a place for everything. Isn't that what the Bible says? There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time to be happy. There's a time to mourn. There's all these things. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. There's all these different times and seasons in life that God tells us about. And if we're not careful in seeking God, we'll get it all wrong. We'll miss it. And so he says, you are careful and troubled about many things. And then notice the good part chosen. Listen, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Listen, one thing is needful in our lives. What is that? A relationship with the Lord. One thing is needful, a relationship with God. What does that mean? What is that one thing that's needful? Question, was Martha saved? Sure she was. Did she have a relationship with the Lord? She did, through salvation, through his work. But did she have the relationship that Mary had? No, she did not. And if we're not careful, we think because we have the relationship of Martha but not Mary that we're all right. Is that how the Lord looked at Martha? That's okay, Martha. I understand. You just carry on your way. Mary's doing that. You just go ahead and be cumbered about and troubled about all these things. No, he called it to her attention. Why? Why did he call it to her attention? Because she was missing out on that good part. Listen. Do you know that God wants to give us good things that come from him? Do you know that Mary was the recipient of the good things that God was wanting to give to her? Do you know that there are good things that money can't buy that come from the Lord? Peace, joy, contentment. You'll never get that from the world. You'll never get that from, not true joy. There's only one place to get that from, and that's God himself. And here's the good part. He does want to give it. So it would behoove the believer to say, Lord, I want that good part. Because I know really, can't we all say, we can be like Martha. In fact, that's our tendency, to be like Martha, not to be like Mary. I speak for myself. I need to say, God, show me that good part that I'm not so cumbered about and troubled about all these things and miss the good part. So tonight, God wants us to know, even as saved children, we have physically received the Lord. Spiritually speaking, we've trusted in the Lord as our Savior, but there's a spiritual enjoyment or reception that the believer can walk in on a daily basis. So the truth tonight is that we can have the Lord on a more consistent, continual basis if we'll call upon Him. Here was the whole difference between the two. Mary was looking to the Lord. Who was Martha looking to? What she thought needed to be done. Herself. Herself. How easy is it for us to look at ourselves and to ourselves and not call upon the Lord? We can manage quite well. Not really. We think we can manage quite well. But we'll miss out on the good part. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we change that? We've got a God that says, you call on me. Because of my shed blood and my righteousness, you have direct access to the throne of God as a child of God. Isn't that amazing? To ask Him for whatever you need. And if you ask Him, will He not, as a Heavenly Father, will He not give you every good gift, every good thing? And He will. God says, don't miss the good part and get cumbered about with so many things that are not really what we need. So tonight God says, call on me and see if I won't show you some things. That's what builds our faith. You consider what caused all the believers. Faith is an experience with God. Faith is watching God provide. Faith is, listen, it has no handle unless God does something. How do I put my handle on faith or trusting the Lord? Well, when the Israelites crossed through the Red Sea, God gave them a handle to hold on to the faith, right? When God delivered them, when God provided for them, every time we see an answer to the Lord, an answer of God to us, that's Him substantiating our relationship with Him. When God gives us a peace that passes understanding, a lot of times I think people are just looking to the physical realm, the physical world of what we need. And you know what? God wants to supply those things, but the greatest treasure is our personal relationship with our Savior. And God says, that's what I really want you to enjoy. Because if you have that, you know what you have? Everything. Everything. God wants us to have everything in Him if we'll have it. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the understanding that You bring to our hearts and to our minds. Lord, may You speak to our hearts and guide us and show us. May we desire to seek You. May You create that in our hearts that we might seek You and experience Your great grace. Bless the invitation, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.